Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon. It is a beautiful day, especially looking outside. You know, you take the ceiling off and the warm air floats away, but at least we get sunshine. So. Beautiful. Got kind of maybe a picky point to make right off the bat here this morning. I never liked the idea of calling the church a faith-based organization. Now, I think it's generally the unbelieving world that will call religion, all religion, faith-based. Now, the unbelieving advocates religious tolerance, I think, based on the idea in their mind that religions of all types are, after all, imaginary and myth-based. And all kind of fantasies. So they're all equally valid, therefore. So let each person believe in whatever makes them feel good. That's what the non-believing world thinks of religion, I think. To call religions faith-based then kind of sounds like patting us on our pitiful little heads. Saying, believe whatever makes you feel good. But they would say, you know, leave reality to science. So are we to believe what we believe, despite the evidence? Or maybe even against all evidence, are we to believe? Or are we to follow the evidence? So my point this afternoon is that we are supposed to follow the evidence. We have to have a support under our faith, supporting our faith. And does the Bible teach that, though? Does the Bible say that you should follow the evidence? What does it say about evidence? If you have a concordance on you, you could look up the word, and it only appears 8 times in the Bible. 7 of those are in Jeremiah 32, where it's just talking about the evidence of buying a field. So that only leaves one other place where the word evidence appears, and that's in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. You're familiar with that first verse of Hebrews 11 that says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now that would perhaps contradict or seem to contradict what I'm saying here, as if faith itself is the evidence of things not seen. But I think that verse is talking about something else if you consider the context of the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is full of stories of people who did things. They were being faithful to God. They went somewhere by faith. They built something. They suffered something. And those things were evidence. Certainly, it's a true statement. I mean, Paul, it's in Scripture. It's true. They were evidence. But they were not evidence that the things that they believed were true. They believed because of other reasons, and their faithfulness to what they believed, that was the evidence. It was the evidence that they did believe. Because belief alone is not evidence of anything, is it? Millions, billions of people believe things that are not true, that doesn't make it true. But the kind of faith, or better yet, faithfulness that is described in Hebrews 11 is indeed, as the Scripture says, evidence. But it's not evidence of the thing that the thing believed is true. So this one prominent appearance of the word evidence in the New Testament is not talking about what our foundation is. Our faith is based on evidence that the Bible is true, that there is a God, but the Bible must be saying, follow the evidence in different words, because it's obviously not using that word. It only appears once in the New Testament. As an example, Peter says clearly that we are supposed to have a reason for what we believe. Somewhere in 1 Peter, I think, I didn't write down the scripture, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You have to have a reason. What do you have a reason? Do you have an evidence for the hope that is in you? I like to relate to the example of Mr. Armstrong back in the 1920s. He was challenged, of course, when his wife took on this strange religious idea about the Seventh-day Sabbath. And then he looked in the Bible, and sure enough, she was right. And this shook him to the core. You know, if that was true, and all the people who had taught him Christianity all his life were wrong about that, what else were they wrong about? What else did he believe that wasn't true? So he started from the ground up. Is there really a God? That was the first thing he approached, wasn't it? Does God exist? He had to prove that to himself. And is the Bible true? He had to establish that as the second foundation. And you probably identify with that approach too. You had to go through that. I would describe three foundations for following the evidence. And the first one is, as Mr. Armstrong investigated, does God exist? In this secular age, I think most of us start there. Is there a creator of our planet and the life on it? You know, the scientific, the educational system is broadly arrayed against the idea of there being a creator. And since the Darwinian theory, there's been an alternative. The academic world has generally argued against there being a creator. And they are very persuasive, especially if you're a young person in school. We need to understand and follow the real evidence here. There is real evidence. There is indeed a lot of scientific evidence out there that, for example, the Earth is old, granted. And there is fossil evidence that many different ecosystems have existed on this planet. That is true. And it's also undeniable that living things are variable. That is true. But those things are presented as if they were evidence of the Darwinian theory. But it is not evidence. I think one of the most helpful writers in that regard is Philip Johnson. Remember Philip Johnson? He appears in some of the church's literature in interviews. He was a law professor. And as a law professor, Philip Johnson was well educated in the rules of evidence. You have to be, if you're going to be a trial lawyer, going to present the evidence. If you present illogical evidence, the other side is going to tear it apart. So this makes Johnson quite a skilled critic of Darwinism. For example, he wrote this. This is a quote from a PBS website. He says, "This whole Darwinian story, it seems to me, has been very much oversold, and everybody is told that it's absolutely certain and certainly true. And because it's called science, it has been proved again and again by absolutely unquestionable procedures. But this is not true. It is an imaginative story that has been spun on the basis of very little evidence." Which in fact is true. If you look deeper into biochemistry, the greater evidence of structure and design of living things requires intelligence, a greater intelligence than we're capable of. The deeper that you look into paleontology, the less we find any hint of evidence that a gradual development of complex system ever occurred. Johnson says again, he says, "I see the scientific question as one of choosing between two hypotheses, which is the scientific method. One is that you need intelligence to do the creating that has to be done in the history of life, and the other is that you don't need it. Then the scientific approach is to decide between these two hypotheses on the basis of evidence and logic." That is the scientific method. That is what the Bible also agrees with. In Romans chapter 1, the famous statement of Paul, I won't turn there, just quote one verse, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen because they are understood through what has been made." So people are without excuse. Can't go any further with the time allotted here, but the point is God does not say that we have to take it on faith that he exists. The fact is that he is clearly seen if you follow the evidence. We're not to be afraid to follow the evidence. The second foundation of faith then is, Mr. Armstrong also went through this, is the Bible true? And there's evidence, of course, of this in several forms. First of all, is the Bible's historicity. The Bible is by far the oldest history in the world. You can go back to some histories that go back maybe 2000 BC, but the Bible goes back to 4000 BC, and it's based upon eyewitness accounts. Nothing else in the world comes close to Bible history as ancient. And the Bible's history is recorded by eyewitnesses, and so it has stood the test of time. It's been verified again and again from many angles. Sometimes, if you read modern archaeologists, they will disagree with the Bible. Archaeologists want to sometimes rewrite history based upon their own theories and their own discoveries. But over time, the eyewitness account wins out. The disputing archaeological theory dies out, and the facts that the Bible reveals stand firm. So historically, it can be demonstrated to be true, amazingly true and amazingly ancient. And second, the Bible is factually true, factually. That is, it doesn't make any fanciful statements or imaginary statements. Take, for example, the historical basis of Hinduism. You've read the Hindu Vedas, imaginary fantasies. The Bible does not make any of those. The Bible, of course, is not a science book. It is not written to reveal scientific and technical principles, but it does not make any wrong statements either. Right? Compare it to Plato's Timaeus in the 300s BC. Plato wrote a treatise that explains the origin and order of the universe. But if you read Plato, it's nonsense. It's superstition and reasoning, but it's scientific nonsense. The Bible is much older than Plato, but it makes no such errors because its source understood the facts. They were understood long before mankind in general discovered them. And third, besides historicity and its factual basis, there's the interwovenness of the whole Bible. It fits together in prophetic and symbolic ways to develop a purpose, a single purpose that is developed through the scriptures that could have never been anticipated by human writers. Just skimming the surface here, these are evidences that the Bible is true. Again, the point is, God does not say that you have to take the Bible to be true on faith. You follow the evidence. And the Bible becomes our authority as a result of the evidence. And thirdly, then the next layer of foundation of your faith or your way of life is it based on Scripture? Then, is it based on Scripture? The doctrines of the faith must be from Scripture. They said nothing is true just because millions of people believe it. The faith of Christ is based on Scripture, not on just belief, not on faith. When the Bible speaks of proving all things, it means in terms of making sure they are scriptural. The evidence of doctrinal things are the words of Scripture. As I pointed out to begin with, the word evidence only appears once in the New Testament, so there are other words for it. In about 18 places in the New Testament, it's the word we get apology from. It's the Greek word for apology, from which we get the subject of apologetics. Apologetics is making the defense of your faith. For example, in Acts 26, verse 1, Paul is on trial before King Agrippa. Acts 26:1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." And Paul stretched forth his hand and answered. He made a defense. That's apologia, or something like that. It's the Greek word from which we get apologetics. He made his defense, and he tells the story of his background and his conversion on the road to Damascus. And he says in verse 22 of chapter 26, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Everywhere Paul went, and every time he wrote, He reasoned with people from Scripture. That's what he taught them to do for themselves. In Acts 17, for example, speaking of the Bereans, famous verse, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So when he writes to the Thessalonians, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good," you prove them from the Scriptures, just as Jesus and the apostles did scores of times in the Bible. This is the third layer, I think, of that foundation. Base your faith squarely on what the Scriptures say. You believe it because you've studied it and you know what it says. You don't believe anything based on faith alone. We're not a faith-based organization. We are evidence-based. We are indeed to follow the evidence of God's existence. It's undeniable, based on things that he has made. I think we often think of that, you know, speaking of examining yourself this time of year, when do you not examine the basis for your faith each time you get down on your knees and speak to a God that you can't see or hear? What makes you think you are talking to God? It's based upon the evidence that you know that he is the creator. Second, the Bible has to be established as the true record. And then the faith has to be grounded on that record. You prove all things by that record and hold fast to those things. My point is that things aren't true because people believe them, whether there are even millions of people who believe it. Faith itself is not the foundation. Yes, you walk by faith, but that faith rests on real foundations. The faith of Christ, our faith, is not faith-based, but evidence-based.